Hey, everybody, welcome back to Phantom Power Music Review. Greetings to my fellow mellophiles, my lovers of liner notes, you pedalboard pundits, lyrical assassins, you drumbeat derelicts, you shoegazing slackers. Love all you guys. If you geek out over songwriting like I do, and production, then this show is for you. This value cast, which enables the listener to send little tiny bits of Bitcoin, otherwise known as Satoshis, via your podcast app like CurioCaster or Podverse or Fountain or True Fans. You know that's why we're here, right? And all of these artists, you can find all their music in the Bitcoin space. So this show is dedicated to songwriting and production and music and all the things that musicians love to geek out about. Now, let's be honest. There's really only like two of you that listen to this show. But it's a lot of fun. And it's probably my favorite. My name's Jim Costello. I'm your host. And in this show, I really love to just dive into the theory and the composition and the production behind the songs and the value verse that I like. And I hope you guys like it too. So, shall we get started? We are going to listen to a song, and then I'm going to break it down and talk to you about the parts that I like. And today we are starting off with a band out of the UK called 2 Weeks in Nashville. And this up-tempo, key of B, BPM 110 banger called Moneymaker. Are you ready? Here we go.
Money maker. your money maker.
Wow, how about that, huh? That's a nice track. So let's do a little background on these guys first. So they are a trio, and they are based out of the London area. It looks like if you look at their socials, it looks like a drummer and two guitar players, but obviously they got a bass player in some of their picks as well. But it's primarily they're a trio, just based upon their social media. And it looks like they've got a big album release show coming up April 19th, Friday, April 19th, for an album launch party in London. They've got a couple of tracks over on Spotify that have hit 100,000 streams, so good for them. Goodness gracious, they got one that's like over 600,000. So they're obviously doing a lot of things right, and it's great to see them over here in the Valueverse. And I'm willing to bet they'll make more money in Bitcoin than they will off of, you know, 161,000 streams on Spotify for Wolf of Wall Street, one of their songs. Anywho, let me dive into a couple of things that I absolutely love about this track. First off, I hope you are listening, as I have said a million times, with a really good pair of headphones on. Your iPods, your earbuds, whatever the hell you want to call them. They're really not designed for listening to music. I really don't care what you have to say about that. I would strongly encourage you to get a really good pair of cans. And even better, get yourself some nice monitors as well. I always listen to it both ways. The mix on this, right off the bat, fantastic. Great energy, great mix. Did you notice how the cymbals were panning in your ears? And I love the mic choice, whatever they used, the mic choice for the hi-hat. Nice, crispy, clean. You can hear all the put-downs that the drummer is doing. Lovely. Great job. Chord progression, obviously, in the intro, which they use again in the chorus, is pretty much a, as we say in Nashville, 174. But notice how the bass player goes up on one of those progressions, typically the third, to give it a nice change. That is a very nice attention to detail. Then the song kind of follows a path. You've got the verse. Verse 1 and verse 2 are broken up both times by a big-ass rock and roll riff that kind of reminds me of Blackwater Smoke or the Allman Brothers. Nice bluesy riff, very clean, very articulate all the way through. Love the drum accents on that. What really stands out to me about the verse is how they change the feel by going double time and also stripping down the vibe at the same time. So, you know, they change the rhythm, but strip down the music so that you can focus on the vocals. That is a lovely arrangement. And they do that in both verses, both sections of both verses. I really enjoy the pre-chorus, too. There's some lovely guitar voicings in the pre-chorus, not just the voicings, but also the tone. There's a really nice chorus tone, airy, spatial, ethereal, which is always the hip word, right? Getting tired of hearing the word ethereal with respect to music. But there is a very nice chorus tone on that pre-chorus section that sets it up nicely. The chorus goes back and pulls from that same progression in the intro, but they have a nice addition of horns buried in the mix. And then the piano starts to make its way into the chorus as well. To me, I finally started to hear the piano in the second chorus. I love, too, the breakdown that happens right around 2:29, 2 minutes and 29 seconds into the track. It's a very theatrical bridge, let's just call it that. And I love the guitar tones. I'm willing to bet, and I'm not saying this just because I saw it on their Instagram, but I would bet you 100,000 sats that dude is playing a Gibson. And it really sounds fantastic, and I love the tone of the guitar solo. Then that whole big rock chorus that comes back that gets everybody involved. This is a really great rock production that really reminds me of kind of like 90s rock, to be honest with you. It's kind of like You know, I mentioned Blackwater Smoke and Allman Brothers because there's some Southern blues and Southern horns in there, kind of like a Memphis soul rock type of thing. But I love the fact that this was not a 3-minute track, that they went long on it. And if I had to break down the lyrics, I would say that this is kind of a middle finger to the establishment of the recording industry. Like, if you listen to what he's saying, you should go back and listen to it. But it's kind of like Sarah Bareilles and her hit song when she said, "I'm not going to write you a love song." Right? Sarah's big breakout hit was, "I'm not going to write you a love song." Right? And she was told by her record label when she was recording the debut album, "Hey, we don't have a single. We don't have like a, why don't you write a love song?" And she's like, "Fuck you guys." Right? So that's the song that she wrote. And it just incidentally was the song that really busted her out. But the lyrics in Moneymaker reminded me of that. If I had to guess, I would say this is their middle finger to the establishment. Like, somebody in the recording industry was like, "Hey, you know, you guys could be a great moneymaker for us if you did this, if you did that." And I think these guys in the band probably said, "Yeah, whatever. Why don't you go pound sand? We're going to do what the hell we want to do." Right? Lovely track, great energy, great production. This dude's got a perfect voice for this type of thing. There was a wonderful spatial element to the entire mix that's hard to do when you've got so much going on. So kudos to these folks in 2 weeks in Nashville, which is kind of an interesting name for some guys from London. But as you will discover on their social media, the way they have created their own acronym for it is really smart. It's really smart. Good stuff. Love that tune. All right, let's move on. Next up, we are going to get on a plane and we are going to travel far south to the city of Lusaka, Zambia. And we are going to listen to the song Moments by an alternative indie folk pop artist whose name is pronounced Tauya. He was on the Wednesday Fan of Power music show. I had this song on the music show on Wednesday, and I totally screwed up his name. And I reached out to him on Instagram. I'm like, "Hey man, how do you pronounce your name?" And he sent me a voice memo. God bless him. That's fantastic. So here is Tauya and his song Moments, and then we're gonna break it down. Let's check it out.
My just can't seem to find it. Silver lines in the sky, moments beyond my time. I hold on till I can feel up. As I float along the street, my mind is calm, the waves of thought I see. What does it mean? Tender is the soul that screams. It hardens in a place to stop to please. What do I need?
Man, I just feel like I stepped out of a big, warm audio bathtub. Talia, that is a beautiful track, beautifully constructed, impeccably built. The first thing that stands out to me is the pattern of intervals that he uses. Over that phrase that sets up the song. The pattern is unique. I hadn't heard that type of a pattern in a long time. But not only that, the fact that it's over a 4-bar phrase and not a 2-bar phrase. If for those of you who don't know music theory, like go back to the beginning of the song and follow along with the beat and count to 16, and when you get to 16, you're going to start all over again. That's a 4-bar phrase. It's 4 bars of 4, right? That interval section, that interval pattern that he uses spread out over 4 bars really drew me in right off the bat. And the fact that it was 4 bars and not 2 kind of gave me a clue as to what he was going to do to build it. He was really going to take his time and build it smartly. And they did just that. The high harmonies that you hear in the first verse and predominantly throughout the bulk of the song are really well chosen. He's doing it in thirds, right? But he's an octave up. And it's just so wonderfully done, so tender and so sweet. Very intimate presentation of the lyrics that match perfectly with the sentiment. The introduction of the percussion and the piano in the pre-chorus is really well done, and it's a nice intimate mix as we head into the chorus. And I just love the piano playing in the chorus. Whomever did it, they were using the full spectrum of the instrument and displaying great control by not overplaying. Like, there's so much space in that, not in the mix per se, but space in the playing, note choice, right? Think about what Miles Davis told Herbie Hancock. Play like you are sitting on your hands. Just fantastic note choice and restraint and maturity showed by the piano player in this song. Like I said at the start, like it feels just like a big warm audio bath. The second verse, the pattern on the snare is fantastic, and there's just enough additions in the vocals to really build the song. You know, like when you're building a song, you don't want to add too much. You just got to add enough. I don't care if it's a song that is as intimate as this or if it is, aggressive as Moneymaker was to start. Like when you are throwing extra layers in, you always have to be very careful with how you do it. And I really enjoyed the nice group vocal at the end that gave you a feeling that these moments that he's singing about aren't just about what one person feels, but what everybody should feel. I also got this sense that if it was like a perfect choir type of feel where everybody was in sync and unison and on point, like it would just sound too perfect for it. Like this kind of like had a like everybody in the park type of vibe to it, you know, everybody coming to that realization at the same point. I just adored this whole track. It was so well done, from that unique pattern of the four bar phrase to how the whole thing was built, and to show you, I think, how cool music is universally. You know, I told you at the beginning when I introduced the song where Taoya is from, but I don't think you can hear where he's from on this song. Like, if you didn't know this song from Adam, you'd be like, man, is that dude in Seattle, or is he in Australia, or like, where's he from? Like, it just speaks to how beautifully universal music is, and a good song is a good song, man. It just doesn't matter what genre it's in. But Taoya, this is a beautiful song. I loved the production on it, and I look forward to hearing more of your stuff in the Valueverse. All right, next up, we are going to listen to Blueprint by Abby Muir, but I'm going to do something really cool for you guys because I just got a special track from her just a couple minutes ago as I was putting the show together. I'm going to feature the vocals on this. She sent me all of the vocals isolated, just so you can hear everything that she's doing in it, because it is so damn good. So you're going to hear the isolated vocals on top, and I've matched up the music underneath it. But the music is going to be really quiet, just so you don't necessarily like lose your place in the song. And I want to do this just to really show off how, not only how hard it is to do great background vocals, but also just to show you what I love about this song, which is Abby's ability to not only just sing a beautiful song, but her command of background vocals is stunning. And I want you all to have an appreciation for just how hard it is to put great vocals together for any track. For those of you who are familiar with the song Leave It by Yes off of 90125, they actually put out an a cappella version of that song as well, because the vocals were so amazing and the production was so stellar. So as I was kind of piecing this together just a couple of minutes ago, I'm like, damn, that kind of reminds me of what Yes did with 90125 and the single Leave It, which came out in like 84 or 85. But anyways, so I just adore the song, but Abby's background ability and her vocal ability is stunning. So check this out. This is Blueprint by Abby Muir with the vocals isolated.
Last night, my friend set me up on a date. He was great, but I drank, 'cause he didn't smell like you or make me laugh the way you do. Too tired to get to know somebody else. So many options, but I never feel like you or smile the way you do. It's clear you left a blueprint for every guy. Me always comparing, 'cause I don't wanna be with someone if it isn't you or someone like you. If they just copy everything that you do, call me the same names, and maybe I could settle for someone that isn't you. But I always wish it was you. What hurts the most is I know you so well. Not a girl in the world could describe you so perfectly. Down to details on your hands. Hey, 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 yeah. If I could let go of you for a sec, forget who you are, I still think that the universe would find a way to pull me to you. Ooh, ooh. You left a blueprint for every guy. Me always comparing, cause I don't wanna be with someone if it isn't you or someone like you. If they just copy everything that you do, call me the same names, and maybe I could settle for someone that isn't you. But I always wish it was you. No competition, you already won the race. You're already my first place.
Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah.
You left a blueprint
for every guy.
Me always comparing, cause I don't wanna be with someone if it isn't you or someone like you. If they just copy everything that you do, call me the same names, and maybe I can settle for someone that isn't you. But I always wish it was you. No competition, you already won the race. You're already my first place.
Ay, 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 ay.
Wow. where do you start, man? Like, it's so good. It's so cool to hear it like that. Like, how the chorus is doubled, right? Again, like, I hope you're listening to this, on a really good pair of headphones or good monitors. But it's, the layering is so great. Like, when the chorus comes in and she starts doubling the melody. Or the runs that she does in the bridge or at the end, you know, that running up the G scale like that. Good Lord. And all of the little intervals. My God, I could sit here and talk about this for an hour, just about all the different intricacies of it. We're going to have her on the Artist Hour in a couple weeks when her schedule settles down. And we're going to talk about this process and just how long it takes, because something like that can take days to put together. It's not something that you just, you know, you go in and you rip a couple of takes and you fix it in Pro Tools. Like, that is so intricate. That is so thought out that it can take days to get it all right. And then you hope to God you have an engineer and a mastering engineer, which are two separate things. That they know what the hell they're doing and they're not going to ruin it for you and can follow your direction. That takes a special type of thought process with respect to vocal arrangements. The song itself, key of G, primarily 1 and 4, right? With a walk down on the bridge. Piece of cake. And there's no reason to go crazy with the music. You know, but a lot of pop songs are musically very simple that way, and they leave the focus on the vocals for a very good reason. And this is a great reason, especially when you got a singer who is solid as Abby. Two things that stand out to me, I will say, I love the choice of an acoustic guitar for the drone aspect of it, for the percussive aspect of it. Like, imagine what this song would be like if some dude was playing a Rick or a Strat or a Gibson and he's got a little bit of dirt on it. It would not be the same vibe. The overtones that come off of an acoustic guitar obviously are very different than the overtones that come off of distortion. And when you have somebody who has a voice like Abby's, you want to try and clear out as much frequency as you can to give her all the room to do it. That's number one that I noticed. The other thing I will say is lyrically, and I don't know why I thought about this, maybe just because I was thinking about a song that I put out years ago and I had somebody come in and sing background on it. And the gal who did the background, she added a couple of lines to the song, which I was totally down with. But lyrically, I want to, what stands out to me is Abby's comment about hands. How Abby noticed this dude's hands. And I will say that I've never heard male writers talk about hands, like talk about how her hands looked or how her hands felt or the distinguishing characteristic of her hands. But it's something that I hear female artists reference quite often. And I don't know why that stood out to me, but I was like, gosh, why is that? I don't know. That's just an unanswered weird question from the weird corners of my mind that I have damaged over the past couple of decades, right? So anyways, I hope you guys really liked that. Go back and listen to that again. And pay attention to the runs, pay attention to the intervals, pay attention to how well it's built. Abby, thank you very much for sending me the isolated track on that. That was really cool. That was a lot of fun. All right, let's thank some people, shall we? So starting off over on Fountain, I want to thank the following people who have sent in some sats from there, listening to the review show or interviews with Higher Low and Sarah Jade. Starting off with One Rational Man listening to the review. Thanks for the sats. Joe Martin checking in, listening to the interview with the Higher Low. Joe, thanks, man. Hope you're doing well. Looking forward to seeing you out here this summer. Chad F. and Ripcord listening to the Sarah Jade interview and voting for her in the San Diego Music Awards. So can't wait to hear from Sarah if she made it into the next round. Love that interview with Sarah. That was a lot of fun. Hope you check that out on the Phantom Power Artist Hour. Just listening, thank you for the nice comment and sats on the Phantom Power Business Hour and the interview with Bonner Black. Looking forward to getting more stuff from her in here pretty soon. Also, thank you for listening to Phantom Power Music Hour number 21, as well as thanks to Nate Jonathan and Nestanate and The Trusted and Abby and Timothy James and John SKRT, Dude D, Triple O D, and Tone Wrecker. Thank you guys so much for not only listening to the show, but sending in some sats. Very kind of you. Appreciate that. Now, moving over to Albie, want to thank the following people for listening and sending in some nice boosts. iMappy, the band Herbivore, Alan C. Paul, John SBRT again. John, thank you. OT, why do I... I know who you are in Noster. I know exactly who you are. Usual Cats Project, that's who you are. Andy Breakheart, Chad F, Anonymous, lots coming in from Anonymous, thank you, whomever you are, whomever it is, whomever they are. Adam Curry, as I like to call him, the Dutch Duke of Decentralized Music, thank you, sir. Saints and Sats, B Glass, Hanze, Dovidas, my fellow opera lover over there in London. Thank you, sir. Hope you're doing well. Borson Galaber, Gelliver, Jelliver, Tomas, as we all know him in Germany. Danke viel mal, mein Freund. And a big shout out to the Dirty Jersey Whore, who sent in a very nice boost in Albie, whomever you are, male or female. I'll just leave it at that. Joel W., thank you very much. Karishma, Narsin, Drogba, I'm reading them as they are spelled. Thank you all very much for listening and sending in some sats. Batvin321, thank you as well. Rajwa and Paul Allen. Mr. Paul Allen. I wonder, well, the Microsoft Paul Allen and former Seahawks owner has since passed, but I'm sure this Mr. Allen is just as important and influential. At least they are in my life for sending in the sats, so thank you all very much for that. All right, folks, that'll do it. That'll wrap up this week's edition of the Phantom Power Music Review. I really hope you guys enjoyed it. We looked at 2 weeks in Nashville and their song Moneymaker, and we also looked at Talia and his song Moments, and then, of course, we had a cool vocal-only thing with Abby Muir and her song Blueprint. Coming up Sunday on the Phantom Power Artist Hour is Mr. Jack Femister. We're going to go over to Australia and have a nice talk with Jack. So hope you guys catch us on Sunday for that. Cool? Cool. Take care, guys. Thanks so much for listening.